Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'm going to wrap up some thoughts. This week, I've been making my way through John's Gospel, Chapter 5. We're in the middle of the season of Lent as the church leads us to walk through the Passion of Jesus. And the Passion of Jesus begins with, as he gets closer and closer to Calvary of the crucifixion, he's coming into greater and greater conflict with religious leaders and others. And their issue with him is Jesus is revealing who he is, and they don't like it, kind of in its most simple terms, that he's revealing to them that he's from the Father, and that he's equal to the Father, and that he heals on the Lord's Day and on the Sabbath day, and they're angry at him because he, quote-unquote, did a work. And he's saying, look, you don't understand the Sabbath. You're not getting it. You're legalistic, or you're handling this in a way. You're blind by your own hypocrisy and self-righteousness. And Jesus is exposing that. And the same thing that's happening, the thing that's happened in them, we're tempted to, as well as Jesus reveals to us who he is and his claims, his startling claims, that, again, that he's God's son, that all power and authority in heaven and earth belong to him, that he reads the human heart and he reveals that in every single one of us, that there's a deep sin sickness that he alone can heal, and he's the source of eternal life. Final judgment is in his hands. Everyone is going to appear before his judgment seat. All power and authority, as I said, are his because he's the Lord. So the human heart resists that, those claims by Jesus and who he is, because those claims make clear that he has the right to rule and that we're called and made to live under his direction and leadership and lordship. And there's something deep within us, the radical independence and radical autonomy of that sin-sick heart that says, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I don't want anybody to determine how I'm going to live my life. I will define for myself my own reality. I'll define what's good for me. I'll define what's true for me. I'm not bending my knee to anybody. I don't want to bend my knee to. I don't have to. I don't have to take his or anyone else's diagnosis of my heart and who I am, because I'm the only one who knows my true heart and who I am. And I, you know, all that stuff, it's out there everywhere. And it's in us, the temptation. We're very susceptible to it. And so Jesus, that same battle that's going on inside, that's getting revealed in the religious leaders, gets revealed in us if we listen clearly to the teaching of Jesus. His word is living, it's active. Just the same word that came out of his mouth that was living and active before the Pharisees is living and active today. It's a sharp sword, cuts right to the human heart, and exposes the true condition of the human heart. He is the one who passes judgment. He's the one who reveals the heart, and he's the one who's in a position to judge whether or not our assertions, the assertions which come from our heart, my own truth or my own moral perception, my own willing, he's the one who will judge whether it's right and good, not you and not me. Right now, the sort of the flavor of the world is so present and creeping so deeply into the church itself, people are saying, no, I'm the final arbiter and judgment of what's good and true in me, which in itself is radical rebellion against God. It's pride, it's hubris, it lacks humility and truth before God. And we can live our entire life on this earth and pretend otherwise, but at the end of the day, as the passage said, Jesus said, I was reading at the end of this section of chapter 5, he says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. So do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs, he means everybody, every single human being, who dies, all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So those are the two destinies, potential destinies of the human race, one or the other. Every single human being is going to go to one or the other. If you die in Christ, he tells us, if we die believing, loving, and living in him, we'll rise to life with Jesus. But if we die insisting on our own way, we're going to rise to eternal judgment and separation from God. That's a very sobering reality. And one of the things we have to see, and what's so clear in Scripture and Revelation, but we resist it, is understanding the effects of original sin in us. That everything in my heart that goes on in my mind and my imagination isn't good. And just because something comes from me doesn't mean it's good or true. There's a deep deception in the human heart that's still at work, and it requires humility to stand and allow the light of God's word to reveal the true condition of my heart, your heart, right? John's gospel, that beautiful John chapter 3, for God so loved the world, that gospel. Jesus says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. The wrath of God. The church is concerned about our relationship to sin and hearing the gospel because she wants us to be free. That's what Lent's all about, getting free. And in Christ, winning the battle against sin. And remember, Father Francis Martin, a great biblical scholar, said the root sin of the world is refusal to believe in Jesus and the place he holds next to the Father as the revelation of the Father. The root sin is to reject the truth. And then Father Francis quotes this very passage that we just read. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but must endure God's wrath. Friends, it's very easy for us to resist the claims and the authority of Jesus. That's the root sin. Am I believing Jesus? And it's easy to have deception and deep self-deception within our own hearts, playing games with sin. Now, one of the biggest examples of this in Christian history is St. Augustine. You know, in his Confessions, if you've never read it, read it. It's so inspiring. There's no book quite like it. And he fought with sin to a degree. His whole life, he fought in his younger years. He had a deep attachment to lust, the sexual sin, and he didn't want to get rid of it. He knew what God was saying, but he said the famous line, take away my sin, but not yet. And I just want to read some of his own reflections of the battles that went on inside his heart and his life, because I think we can learn a lot from it. He said, I sighed after such freedom, the freedom of Victorinus, a friend of his, to turn away from all that sin, but was bound not by an iron imposed by anyone else, but by the iron of my own choice. The enemy had a grip on my will, and so made a chain for me to hold me a prisoner. The consequence of a distorted will is passion. By servitude to passion, habit is formed, and habit to which there is no resistance becomes necessity. But I was responsible for the fact that habit had become so embattled against me. For it was with my consent that I came to the place in which I did not wish to be. It became necessity in him because he kept saying yes to it. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper when we say yes to sin and our minds are darkened. That's why Paul says, you know, your senseless minds become darkened and you suppress God's light and God's truth and fall further and further into darkness. He said, in this way, I understood through my own experience what I had read, how the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. I was split between them, but more of me was in that which I approved in myself than in that which I disapproved. Though at every point you showed that what you were saying was true, yet I, convinced by that, had no answer to give you except merely slow and sleepy words at once, but presently, just a little longer, please, but at once, never came to the point of decision, and just a little longer, please. I went on and on for a long while. The law of sin is the violence of habit by which even the unwilling mind is dragged down and held as it deserves to be, since by its own choice it slipped into the habit. Wretched man that I was, who would deliver me from this body of death, other than your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord? He's quoting Romans chapter 7. Lord, my helper and my redeemer, I will now tell the story and confess to your name of the way in which you delivered me from the chain of sexual desire by which I was tightly bound and from the slavery of worldly affairs. I went about my usual routine in the state of mental anxiety. This was the story Puncticianus, who was a friend of his, told, "But while he was speaking, Lord, you turned my attention back to myself, and I looked and I was appalled. You thrust me before my own eyes, so that I should discover my iniquity and hate it. I had known it, but deceived myself. I refused to admit it, and I pushed it out of my mind. But at that moment, the more ardent my affection for those young men of whom I was hearing, guys who were friends of his were being converted and telling their stories, who for the soul's health had given themselves wholly to you for healing, the more was the detestation and hatred I felt for myself in comparison with them. Many years of my life had passed by, about 12, since in my 19th year I had read Cicero's Hortensius and had been stirred to a zeal for wisdom, but I was an unhappy young man, wretched as at the beginning of my adolescence when I prayed to you for chastity and said, 'Grant me chastity and countenance, but not yet.' I was afraid you might hear my prayer quickly and that you might too rapidly heal me of the disease of lust, which I preferred to satisfy rather than to suppress." That same battle against sin and deception, friends, can go on in each one of us, and it's easy to deceive ourselves and to suppress the truth of our own affection for sin. Here he describes at his own conversion, which hopefully I have time to read this to you, I'm not sure I do. It says, "Now when deep reflection had drawn up out of the secret depths of my soul, all my misery had heaped it up before the sight of my heart, that arose a mighty storm accompanied by a mighty rain of tears, that I might give way fully to my tears and lamentations. I stole away from Olympias, for it seemed to me that solitude was more appropriate for the business of weeping. I went far enough away that I could feel that even his presence was no restraint upon me." And he just talks about the sin and repentance that finally was coming upon him, where he realized the truth of his heart. He said he flung himself down under a fig tree, and he was there weeping, and he heard a voice of a child, he said, chanting, pick it up, read it. Immediately, I ceased weeping and began most earnestly to think whether it was usual for a child of some kind of a game to sing such a song. And he eventually, he goes on to say that he picked up the Word of God, and the Word of God spoke so clearly to him. He read the Word of God, and the Word of God exposed the sin-sick condition of his heart. This is what he read. He opened the Bible. "Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." He said, "I wanted to read no further, nor did I need to, for instantly, as the sentence ended, there was infused in my heart something like the light of full certainty, and all the gloom of doubt vanished away." That was a moment of grace and God's mercy when he was honest and he cried out to God, which itself was mercy, and God healed his heart. Jesus healed him. Friends, that's what we ought to do. Like, let the truth of sin and weep for our own sins before God and cry out for healing. He will bring us full healing. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.